We are not going to continue in Acts today. That's way over my pay grade. But what we are going to do in Colossians, look in Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. We're going to read together verses 1 through 14. And I read, as we read this and as we discuss it, I want you to think about, this is a prayer from Paul, by Paul, for the Colossians. And I want you to think as we read this, how do we pray for ourselves? And how do we pray for others? I love Paul's prayers, and he is they're very deep and very good. But let me read for us Colossians chapter 1, beginning with verse 1 down through 14, and then we'll talk further about it. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy, and our brother, to the saints and faithful brothers in Christ at Colossae, grace to you and peace from God our Father. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love that you have for all the saints, because of the hope laid up for you in heaven. Of this you have heard before in the word of the truth, the gospel which has come to you, as indeed in the whole world is bearing fruit and increasing, as it also does among you since the day you heard it and understand the grace of God in truth, just as you learned it from Epaphras, our beloved fellow servant. He is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf and has made known to us your love in the Spirit. And so, from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking it that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. May you be strengthened with all power, according to his glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Pray with me now. Dear Lord God, we thank you so much for your word. In it you have shown us and continue to show us yourself. Lord, I pray that we would look seriously at it to see the truths that you have for us. I pray today that we would see in these words of Paul how we are to pray for ourselves and how we are to pray for others. Lord, I pray that you would use this very unworthy vessel and bring your word forth to your people, the truths that you would have them to hear and see in this passage. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. How do we pray for ourselves and others? You know, it's interesting. I think if it was, we just did, every week one of the elders prays for the church, prays the pastoral prayer for the church. And I will tell you, it is one of the hardest things to do. There's so much, and how do you pack in what's really important, what really needs to be said for God's people? And I think Paul makes an excellent example here in this prayer, or shows us an excellent example in this prayer that he prays for the Colossian church, the Christians there. You know, Paul did not plant this church. In fact, most of the commentaries say he probably never even visited this church. It was founded by a man who was part of Paul's ministry in Ephesus, Epaphras. So there's something to see there that Paul loves this church just as much and cares just as much of them as he does any of the church that he planted. For Paul, it was all about God. It was all about God in Christ. And he saw that same light in those that he planted, and he sees in the one that are just product of the ministry and missionary work that Paul did. There's another point to see here that's clear, or I hope that we will see, is that God uses jars of clay. Those common means that are willing to and serve great service to his church. That's what Epaphras did. He took what he learned and saw from Paul and shared it in Colossae, that this church would begin and grow to be what it is. So it was a good church. It was a growing church, but it still faced problems, just like we face problems today. Different, but still problems. It was a flourishing church. It was confronted with what I sometimes like to call problems with Christ plus. They were Christians. They had been told about Christ. They had been taught about Christ. But there were those that telling them that that was not enough, that you still need to follow all of the Jewish rites, rituals, that it was Christ, but you needed to add something to it. More needed than that crucified and risen Christ that Paul, through Epaphras, had taught them. And so all those Jewish and ordinances, regulations still weighed on them, or were made to be put a weight on them that was not to longer any longer be on them. And there was also cults and angel worship and all kind of problems there. So it was a church that was facing difficulties. So this is who Paul was praying for. Now, how was he praying for them? Paul, at the time he wrote this letter, was a prisoner in Rome. So he was not under or in the best situation you can imagine. And he had only heard about the good things that were happening there and the trials as well that they were facing. And seldom ever, as I said earlier, most say he probably never visited this church. But what do we read in verse 9? He says, "So from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you." Paul was praying for this church constantly. He was constantly praying for them. He had heard about them. He knew what they were going on. But he was constant in his prayers for them, which is important. Are we constant in our prayers, not only for ourselves, but for others? Others that are walking the same trails that we are walking, facing the same trials that we face. And so we see Paul in prison praying for them constantly. Now, what is it that he was praying for them? Let's look at that. First of all, he begins in verse 3, and I think it's certainly important we see that it's the place we should always start. Verse 3, "We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you." Who does it start with? It starts with God. God has to do his work in our hearts. Those cold, hard, lost hearts that we have from our birth. He has to change that and create within us a desire, a want for Him. It doesn't come naturally. We don't, you know, they see these beautiful little babies and they're so pretty and they're just so nice, but they're rotten to the core naturally. If you don't believe that, what's one of the first things they learn? No. Or whatever you got, I want it. I mean, they just don't come a beautiful little package that is just full of love and caring. God has to change those hearts. And He does. He thanks God first, beginning there. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ and of Christ Jesus and of the love that you have for all the saints. It is how he begins and what he prays for them. He goes on to say, thinking about and looking at what he prays for them, back going down to 9 again, "And so from the day we heard, we have not ceased to praise for you, asking it you that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding." Filled with the knowledge of his will. Filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. So we see knowledge. They need to be praying. We need to be praying that we would know God's will for our lives. Now, the trick becomes, how do we do that? So often we pray that we would know the will of God, but we expect him to listen to us. We expect him to listen to us rather than making ourselves stop and listen to him. The other thing we try to do is persuade God to do what we want, but rather we need to discern what he wants. It is important that we do that. We must know it to do it. We must know it to do it. And how do we know it? He's given us the plan right here. God has shown us in his word who he is as our God and who we are as his people, and how then we should live. It's important that we spend time in God's word and in prayer seeking that knowledge. But Paul goes on here and says, filled with the knowledge of his will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Spiritual wisdom and understanding. We not only need to know what we are to do, but we need to see and understand how we are to implement that, put that into practice in our lives. That is wisdom and understanding, more than just knowing, but also having the wisdom and understanding to apply what we know to our lives. You know, God's word is great, but it's more than just a good book. Is to be a guide for how we live and how we think and how we talk and how we implement all those things. How we are to apply it to our lives so that we can draw on it as we face those situations and trials in our lives. And they are part of it. We're going to talk more about it in a minute. But if we are God's children, we will face situations and issues in our lives that are trials. So that's what he prays. And why is that? What are the results of this that Paul says we should be seeking? He goes on to say in verse 10, "So to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God." We are to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. What does that look like? Some of you here who have been in Sunday school classes with me before, you probably know what I'm about to say. We need to live like the people we are. We need to live like the people we are. We are children of God. We are co-heirs with Christ. It is important we see that. Let's look at Romans, if you flip back to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Let me begin reading with verse 12. Romans 8, 12. So then, brothers, we are debtors, not to the flesh to live according to the flesh, for if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with Him in order that we may also be glorified with Him. We are children of God. Let me read another verse there. 1 John chapter 3. 1-3 See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God, and so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know Him. Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when He appears, we shall be like Him, because we shall see Him as He is. And everyone who thus hopes in Him purifies himself as He is pure. Again, we need to understand and see who we are. And we need, Paul's prayer is that we see that and we would live like those who we are. He goes on to say there in Colossians, from there, that a manner worthy of God, fully pleasing to Him, bearing fruit in every good work. Fully pleasing to God. If we live like the people we are, we will be pleasing to God. We should reflect in how we think and how we speak and how we act, who we are, and knowing that we are doing it before God as well as for others. You know, my mother used to tell me years ago, you never know who is watching you and seeing how you live and how you talk and how you react with others. Our example very often is the first, hopefully just the first, but in many cases maybe the only example of God and Christ that some people see. There is a weight in being one of God's children. And we should joy in the privilege of being counted as one of His and living as one of His. Bearing fruit in every good work. Matthew Henry says, good words will not do without good works. We are to be doers, as it says in James, not hearers only. We are to live and do like the people we are. We are to be regular, consistent, exercising God's will for our lives. We are living like who we are. And increasing in the knowledge of God, he goes on to say there. And as we increase, it builds on itself. As we more and more live and are fruitful for God and good the works, the good things we do, not that we're doing them to earn anything, but doing them because that's who we are. And that's because who has done what he has done for us and brought us to him. We will increase more in the knowledge and will. And you're going now, well, okay, that's a mouthful. How am I supposed to do all that? And Paul goes on to say in his prayer, after he's prayed for all of this in verse 11, after talking about his prayer that would be filled with knowledge and spiritual wisdom and understanding, to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit and increasing in knowledge. Verse 11, may you be strengthened with all power according to his glory, his glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy. How do we do this? We can't do it by ourselves. We can't do it on our own. We are to be strengthened with the all power of God at work in us. He provides in us. He has, as Christ left, he promised and sent a helper who was the Holy Spirit, who now dwells in us. And in him we have the power, we have the ability to understand what God has told us in his word of how we should live, but he is also there to provide the power that we need to live out what he tells us. So we do not go alone. And understand here, again, it's very important to see not only who we are, but to grow in understanding who our God is. God is the Almighty God. There's nothing greater. There's nothing more powerful. And he is faithful. He is faithful. He will not desert or abandon us. He is faithful. He is faithful. Flip back to Ephesians. Let me read another couple of verses here. In Ephesians chapter 3. Let me begin with verse 14. Ephesians 3:14. For this reason I bow my knee before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all of the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Do you hear what Paul is saying there? What he is praying here for the church is Ephesus. I'm sure it was very much a part of the prayer he had for the church of Colossae and all those churches that he had founded. He was praying that the strength of God, which is in us through his Holy Spirit, would carry us through the life that he has called us to live. You heard in my prayer, and I believe it all with all my heart, there is nothing that touches our lives by accident. And there is nothing that touches our lives that is not a part of God's plan and purpose to make us into the person he created us to be. Now, when you come to understand that, and I'm getting there, But I can tell you, every day that I have lived, the so many days that I've already lived in my life, every day I more and more and see and understand life from that perspective. It changes everything. The bad times aren't as bad, and the good times are even better, because you see and wonder. You don't wonder. You do try to understand many times, how is God using this to make me into who He created me to be? It is a purpose. There's no accidents. There's no fate. There are no coincidences. For us as God's people, everything is under His hand at work in our lives. And this is what Paul is praying for. How do you pray for yourself? How do you see yourself and the things you're faced with when you pray for yourself? How do you pray for others? Others that you know are going through difficult times. Or sometimes others that things are so great. We need to see and understand this. It's so important to see. How do we grow in this? It comes from God's Word as we seek it and study it and pray for it. It's a part of what we are to do. It is not our might that we live by. It's God's might. And that's why he goes on in Colossians to say, he kind of gets to the meat of the matter. He says, that may be strengthened with all the power according to his glorious might for all endurance and patience. We have those times, endurance and patience. His strength is there for us with joy. And how can we have joy? In knowing God is there. Knowing he is right there. He does not abandon us. Giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of saints in light. It is what God has done for us. Suffering is a part of the Christian life. Christ suffered. We should not expect anything different. Anybody that tells you that you become a Christian and all your life will be wonderful and you'll have no more problems, they obviously don't know what a Christian is. Or they haven't walked very long in the Christian life. We should look different. We should live differently. It should be because that's who we are. And again, back to seeing, and I guess I'm driving that point a little bit, we are living out God's plan and purpose for our lives. In a nutshell, to come to understand and see that, we would ultimately be perfect and complete. Perfect and complete. We are a project under construction. The project will be completed. The project will be, he has started a good work, will complete it. And that's what God is doing in each of us. And he adds a word there that we might not always attach with things, and that with joy. With joy. To know that God is working in us and we are living out a plan that he's created us should bring joy to everything that we are confronted with. And then he winds his prayer up with kind of a summary of the gospel. In verse 13, he says, he has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. That's the gospel in a nutshell. It is what Christ has done, what God has done for us through Christ, and who we now are as his people. I pray looking at Paul will be a challenge for you with your prayers, for yourselves and for others. I know personally, I don't think I'm ever supposed to go personally, But it's easy for our prayers to become a list. A list. And the list is, pray for Uncle Bob, pray for Mama, pray for Daddy, pray for... And those are important. But the heart of it, again, as I prayed today, the real heart of it is what Paul is driving home here. And that is, we need to make sure that we are praying, that God's hand through His Spirit be in work in us to show us who He is as our God and who we are as His people, and in that perspective, how we should live. It will change your life. I will attest to that. It may take 70 years, but it will change your lives when we see our lives in that way. Okay, let me close this in prayer. Dear Lord God, I do thank You for this opportunity, this blessing of being able to gather together today as Your people. I pray for each brother and sister here, that You would be growing them in their knowledge of who You are as their God, who they are as Your people, and that, Lord, with that knowledge would come wisdom and understanding of how to apply those truths to their lives, that they would joy in knowing that they are one of Yours. They would joy in seeing how You move and use the different pieces of the puzzle of their lives in ways that we never even knew there were puzzles, much less how You would put them together to bring us to where You would have us to go. Lord, so often we want to see Your hand moving in our way, in our time. And You are very faithful to show us that Your way is always the best in Your time, which is just the right time. I just pray that we would be more and more growing individually and together as a church to live our lives out as reflections of You to the world around us, that in everything we think and say and do, we would reflect You, our great and almighty God. In Christ's name I pray.